Okay, good morning. I wonder if you... Oh, sorry, I'm really loud anyway, and then you add a microphone, I'm even louder. I wonder for you, what is the most pointless aspect of Christmas? Now, for me, there's a lot of things. I'm a bit of a humbug. Well, not like a humbug as in the sweet, but like bar humbug. For me, one of the most pointless things at Christmas are Christmas crackers. Now, I say that for four reasons. They give you a lousy bang, the bang's rubbish. They give you a crown that never fits. They give you a useless present and a joke that is never, ever funny. Now, given that it is Christmas, I thought it might be a bit miserable if I just stood here and moaned about crackers. So, I purchased a giant cracker. Okay, no expense spared. Like, seriously, this was a lot of money. So I need a couple of volunteers. One. Who wants to come up and pull the cracker? Come on, guys. Oh, no, come on. Okay, you take that side. You've got strong muscles? Yeah, good. Oh, no, are you feeling strong? Because it is a giant cracker. Okay, don't hold back. It's like tug of war, okay? 3, 2, 1, go. Yeah! Woohoo! Great, this is amazing. You might want to take something from this. I'm going to keep this one. No, actually, can I keep that one? That's amazing. Is there any jokes in there? No? Okay, great. You can do whatever you like with that. You won't believe how much money that cracker cost. And it hasn't even got a joke in it. That's what I'm talking about it being rubbish. Now, when I say about Christmas crackers, the good thing is that they do have some form of hope in that they explain for us what Christmas is all about. Okay, so we're going to look at that this morning. So we are going to look, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, and verses 8 to 15. And just to set the scene for you, like that DVD hopefully did, Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem. Mary's had the baby, okay? And then this is what happens next. So it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." So the shepherds are just doing their normal job, okay? And then suddenly, check this out, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Like, no doubt, if you're in the middle of your day job and then an angel rocks up to the scene, you probably are going to be what we would say around here, bricking it. So, like, really, really scared, okay? But then the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid." Thanks for that. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Now, check that out. All people. Good news for all people. It's not just for the shepherds. It's not just for the people who work. It's also for the wise men. It's for the poor. It's for the rich. It's for the educated, the uneducated, for the Jewish people, the non-Jewish people. Hopefully you're getting the gist that it's for all people, okay? It's for you, it's for me. It's good news for everybody. Okay, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapping cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests." So this angel's now been joined by a whole host of other angels, and they're going to be singing. And it probably would have sounded, you know, as nice as the choir this morning, if not a little bit better. So verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, what they had been told about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and which were just as they had been told." Okay, the first thing I do when I open a cracker is I get the crown and I put it on. See if it fits. Now, what I love about Christmas and these crowns, yeah, is they're like one size fits all. And they rarely fit anybody. Is it actually on my head? Oh, it's tearing. Right, so what normally happens is, if you're really small, you spend all of your Christmas dinner pushing up your crown to actually see your turkey. If you've got a fat head, which I wouldn't have said that I actually do, but apparently so, it starts splitting at the side. If you've got sweat issues, you normally start sweating through your crown. Who normally wears a crown? Go on, go for it, shout out. Who normally wears a crown? You. You normally wear a crown. Wow, okay. Apart from you, who normally wears a crown? A king or a queen? Okay, me putting this crown on my head, does that make me a queen? It's really not a trick question. It's not difficult. No, it doesn't make me royalty. See, the thing is, I look a bit stupid, but looks are deceiving. The appearances isn't reality. Actually, the only person I've ever seen who a crown actually looks good on was my nan. And that's because she had, like, proper old people's hair, you know, that quiffed up. And a crown sat right in the middle, and she kind of looked like the queen. That's just a bit of a side, really, but she did actually, like, no jokes. So the shepherds go to Bethlehem, they rock up, they get told by the angels, there's a saviour, there's a messiah, there's the anointed one. There's this king, there's this baby that has been born, and you're going to go and see him. And you would think that they're going to rock up to a royal scene. You'd expect almost Jesus to be laying there in his cot with a crown on his head. And yet the appearances and the reality were massively different. Anyone know who this little dude is? Okay, baby George. Oh, doesn't he look cute? So he is the baby to William and Kate. He's third in line to the throne, is that right? Yeah? Yeah, okay, so he's third in line to the throne. Now this guy, when he was born in a private hospital. He would have had security surrounded by him. If you saw the kind of news afterwards, he was driven away in a very nice Range Rover. This guy is going to want for nothing. He's going to live in a palace all of his life. He's going to be protected from so many aspects of the world. And yet Jesus, the baby born, who is destined to be king, was born in a dead-end town of Bethlehem, in essentially what was a cave, and he was laid in a feeding trough. He was going to grow up. He was going to be surrounded by suffering, know what it is to suffer, know what it is to cry, and yet still be king. The appearances and the reality were completely different. Okay. When you open your cracker normally, if you don't buy a really big, expensive, giant cracker with no jokes in, you normally get a joke. So what we normally do, we put our crowns on our heads, and then we start telling each other our Christmas jokes. Now, just so you know, I've been on fire this festive season when it comes to my Christmas jokes. So if you're a bit stuck for, like, a little bit of humour, come and see me afterwards. Darren has suffered them day in, day out in the office. Now, as I haven't got a joke to share with you from the cracker, I prepared one earlier. You'll like that. So check this out. This is the joke, which I think is actually my best one of Christmas. How did Mary and Joseph know Jesus was £7.6 when he was born? They had a way in a manger. Did you get it? That is amazing. I love it. That's a good one, isn't it? I'm really pleased with that, by the way. Now, the good thing about Christmas jokes is, at best, they cause laughter and they raise a smile. At worst, you'll get a groan. Now, the thing is, when the angels rocked up to the shepherds, they said, I bring you good news of great joy. Not I'm going to give you something and tell you something that's going to make you smile and then you're going to carry on with your life. I'm going to give you good news of great joy. Now, joy, something that satisfies, something that isn't dependent upon a situation that you're going through. Good news of great joy. Now, I wonder, what is it that will bring you that kind of joy? What is it that will give you that kind of joy that regardless of the situation that you face, you'll be able to say, it's okay, it's okay. Now, a big thing in my family's life the past few years is my nephew. He was born with a really serious heart problem, and he's had a couple of major surgeries. And do you know what? There's a time where you could think, actually, having good friends is fantastic, and having a home is great. But you know what? When my nephew was fighting for his life in hospital, there was no amount of money, no amount of friends, no home, no relationship that could actually give me joy. But the one thing that gave me joy was knowing there was a Heavenly Father who was in control of everything. And that regardless of the situation, regardless of what the outcome would be, that I could say, I've got joy because I trust in one who won't let me down. Okay, so good news of great joy. So the shepherds go and they rock up and they see that Jesus is the source of that joy. This little baby laying in a manger, he's the source of that joy. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, that's great, Jen, but how on earth does a baby born 2,000 years ago bring that level of joy? Okay, that brings us on to our final aspect of the cracker, the present. Just in case you don't actually know what this is a yo-yo, apparently. I don't understand Christmas cracker presents. They are just like the most pointless things ever, aren't they? Like, you pull your cracker, you get a lipstick holder. Nah, if you know me, that's no good to me. What other corkers do you get? Oh, mini tape measures that are so small they can only measure another mini tape measure. What else you get in a cracker? A golf tee? Paper clips. You always need a paper clip. Nail clippers, you always get them sitting on the table while you're eating your Christmas dinner. That's beautiful, isn't it? I have never pulled a cracker and said, this is the one present I've been waiting for my whole life. I'll be interested if one of you have. Come and tell me at the end, because I want to know what that present was that revolutionised your world. At no point do we say that. And yet, on the face of things, we could say a baby born in a stable, laying in a feeding trough, that is another useless present. But do you know what? The baby grew up. We're just going to watch a DVD. So Jesus' birth was God himself showing up into our world with one mission, with one purpose, and that was to die. See, from the creation of the world, God desired a perfect friendship with us, and we messed it up, and we constantly mess it up with what we say, with what we do, with what we think. We say, God, you know what? I don't need you. I'm king of my own life. The Bible calls that sin. And we learn that that drives a separation between us and God. But do you know what? God didn't say, oh, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to treat you how you deserve to be treated, and I'm going to take a step away from you. No, he'd done something about it. See, on Christmas Day, when we sat around a Christmas table, we pulled our crackers, the crowns, the toys, the jokes, they're all on the floor, and we're surrounded by our cracker debris. We're just sitting in our mess. You know what happens? My dad comes in, or he used to when we was kids, and he'll come in with a big bag, and whilst we're oblivious to the mess that we're sitting in, he would pick up all the rubbish and put it in a bag. Not because we deserve it. He went out of his way to do that. And why did he do that? Because he loves us. And it's the same with God. See, we sit in our mess. We're surrounded by our mess. And God says, do you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to clean up that mess. And how I'm going to do it is by coming in human form in Jesus and dying on a cross and then raising back to life 3 days later. He cleans up my mess. And why does he do it? Because he loves us. Because he loves you. Because he loves me. Because he desires to be friends with us. There's a verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And it says this: the one who was without sin, the one who had never made a mistake, the one who was perfect, that being Jesus, became sin. He took on our mess. He took on our mistakes. He took on our faults. Why? So we could be friends with God. So we could be friends with God, the creator of the whole universe. Why does he do that? He says, because I love you. See, Jesus dying on a cross is a bit different to the baby lying in a manger, isn't it? Okay, let me finish with this. I don't know if anyone's... Does anyone like Lego? Okay, a few people. Has anyone been to the Lego exhibition down Brick Lane? Okay, a few people. So I don't really like Lego. My husband likes Lego. He wanted to go and see this exhibition. Now, I, in my ignorance, thought we would just be going to look at different, like, random things that people had made out of Lego. And then one of my friends showed me a picture of some of the sculptures that were there. And I was like, actually, that's quite cool. Lego is cool. So we rocked up and we went to look at different things. Now, this is the piece that stood out for me. It's called Incomplete. So it's a 3D piece. And the majority of one arm and the torso is missing. And if you stand at the side, you can look right into the middle, and it's empty and it's hollow. So when I was there, in my kind of hyperactive state that I generally tend to be in, I thought, oh man, I wonder what it would be like if I just went and got loads of Lego bricks and start trying to finish off this piece of art. I think I could give it a good go. I don't think it would really look complete when I finished doing that to it. And it got me thinking, do you know what? My life is like this. My life's like this. I'm incomplete without God. And I would say you're incomplete without God. See, and you can see that in our day-to-day lives because we're always trying to fill our lives with stuff, more stuff. If only I had more money, I'd be happy. If I had a place I could call home, I would be complete. If I had power and success, if I had kids, if I had a partner, if my children were more obedient when I told them to do something, then my life would be complete. Do you know what? There was a king in the Bible called Solomon, and he had everything he could ever want. He had women, he had power, he had money, he had a lot of food. Do you know what he concluded about all of those things? He said, it's meaningless. It is all meaningless. See, the only person who can complete us is the creator. The only person who could finish off this sculpture so it looked perfect was the guy who started it off in the first place. And it's the same with us. The only one who can complete us is the creator of the universe who we heard about earlier. I wonder, presents in a cracker, they're useless. But imagine, just imagine this Christmas if you pulled a cracker and in the center you found completeness. You found something that could forgive you for all the mistakes that you had made. You found something that could heal your brokenness. You found something that could give you joy in the middle of complete and utter sad stuff of life. Imagine if you pulled that cracker and there was a ticket there saying you can have a relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. What would you do? Would you just throw it away and say, nah, you're right, thanks. Not today. Or would you grab it with both hands and say, I want this, I want this, I want this in my life? See, the arrival of one boy in a town in Bethlehem, born into a cave, laying in a feeding trough. He grew up to bring us lasting joy, to give us forgiveness for all the stuff we do wrong, and to make our lives complete. That is the good news that the angels were talking about when they rocked up to the shepherds. Let's pray. So when the shepherds heard the good news, they went to investigate to see what the good news was all about. We also read that Mary was in the middle of that and she pondered things in her heart. We read elsewhere the wise men came and they bought gifts for this little baby. And I wonder this morning, what is our reaction to this good news? The good news that a baby born would grow, would die, would come back to life so we can be forgiven and be complete. Maybe it's the first time you've heard the true meaning of Christmas this morning. And if that's the case, I wonder what you think about it. What is your reaction going to be to that? Are you going to discard it? Are you going to throw it away? Or are you going to say, I want to know more. I want to be a part of this. I want to know what it means to be friends with God. I'm just going to pray. And if in your heart you're thinking, yeah, I want to know this, God. I want to know what it means to be healed and forgiven and saved and to have a purpose and to have meaning in life, then just tell God that in the quietness of your own heart. And I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that we heard that you love us so much that you came to earth in human form, made of the same DNA that we've been made. And thank you, Jesus, that you came to forgive us. You came so that we could be friends with you. You came to complete us. You came to heal us of our brokenness. And Father, for those of us who sit in here who say, you know what, we want to know you more, I pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us this morning. May we know this Christmas, every time we pull a cracker, that you were born as a king that we can relate to. You were born to give us joy. And you were born as the most useful present we could ever want. And God, challenge us, I pray, to take hold of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to say, guys, if during the course of this morning, if you've been thinking, man, that makes sense. There's something about, not necessarily what I've said, but maybe something about this morning that you think, that makes sense. Talk to somebody who invited you along. If you've come off your own back, then talk to someone who's been involved this morning. We'd love to chat with you and to pray with you. But thank you for being attentive and listening. I really appreciate it.